out until we are completed the way he intends for us to be. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, it is in the name of Jesus that we glory in your presence today. We honor you and we magnify your holy name. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Father, for his life. We thank you that he paid the price for our sins, our failings, our shortcomings, our rebellion. He paid the price for our disobedience with his own life, sacrificed his blood. Thank you. Bore every stripe for every evil thing that we could ever do on his back and for our healing, for our restoration. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. He is the Spirit of truth, and he helps us understand and see what life is really all about. We thank you for him, Father. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is living. Your word is full of power. Your word cuts to the very core of our being. Oh God, cutting out all that is not right and putting in those things that will make us whole and eventually come to the place where we're in your image and your likeness. Thank you for your living word. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to assemble together in this place, in your presence. And we ask you, God, to speak to us as you will today. You saw everybody come through that door. You know what we need. Most of all, you know what you want for us. And we give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of us say amen together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Sometimes when I'm just wandering about and just not thinking about anything in particular, God will speak something to me. And I heard him say this yesterday morning as I was getting up and getting things, actually beginning to start my day. And I heard him say, no word of scripture is without purpose. He said, every word that he speaks is intentional. Not haphazardly. God doesn't speak anything off the cuff. He has purpose for everything that he says. He said no word of scripture in that case is pointless. No word of scripture is without benefit to those who will read, hear, and do it. No word from God is without power to perform according to the purpose that it's been sent and in the time that it is to be accomplished. There are no ill-placed words in our lives. Every word has been placed strategically. Each word addresses us according to God's eternal will. I thought about Romans 8 that says that the Holy Ghost helps us in our prayers because he knows the heart of God, the will of God, and he knows us. And he's able to cause them to come together in such a way that God's will and purpose will be accomplished, even though we fall so short of understanding, even though we fall so short of what needs to be accomplished. The Holy Ghost makes up for what we cannot do and perfects what is imperfect. When the word comes to us and comes in our hearing, if we will receive it, it will do God's bidding. The word of God will not return to him void. Isaiah 55 says, incline your ear to the word of God. Do what you have to do. And that word incline means to bend. It means to even reach around a corner if you have to. Lean in close. Cut out all of the distractions. Get over the things that are happening around you. And just hone in on what God is saying. He says, be attentive on purpose to what God says. Because the word of God will feed you, nourish you, heal you, deliver you in any and every area. When God said to Abraham and Sarah that they were finally at that point when they were going to have a son. They were going to have their first child when they had not had one for almost 25. It's been almost 25 years since God said that Abraham was going to be the father of many nations. It had been 25 years almost. They're right at that place. And then God comes and says, now is the time. And Sarah laughs. And when she laughs, God said, why is she laughing? Sarah said, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did, girl. God said, yeah, you laughed. He said, is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything that God cannot do? Well, he cannot lie, so that is something he can't do. He can't change. That's something he can't do. But anything that he has spoken that he will do, anything that he says will happen, anything that has been provided for us in Jesus Christ, and that's all things that pertain to life and godliness. So whatever we need to live and whatever we need to be godly in our living has been provided for us in Jesus Christ. And anything that would try to challenge or cut that short, God says, I can fix it. So absolutely nothing is too hard for me to do. God said, if I said it, it's coming to pass. Solomon said, if God thinks it, it's coming to pass. He doesn't even have to open his mouth. It just has to be his intention. So just intend to do it. And it comes to pass. God said, so girl, there's nothing too hard for me to do. And that changed to whoo-wee. God did it when she had Isaac. Barren woman. Barren old man. And God made them both live until they produced. There's nothing too hard for God. The God who can't change has not changed. God said in Genesis 22, when Abraham had obeyed God and took his son up to offer him as an offering, and then God put a ram in the bush. He didn't have to do it, but he had to be willing. There are some things that God will say that he wants us to do, and it's to test the integrity of our hearts. God knows what's in your heart, but you need to see what's in your heart. You need to see what you're really all about. Because, you know, sometimes we think we're about something and we're about nothing. I'm going to give you a minute. D'Angelo, sometimes we think, man, we got it going on. I am in there with God. And then something will challenge that and you'll fall apart and say, well, I thought it was. But that was wrong. So God tested him. And when he proved that he would do it, God made this promise to him. Beginning in verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, by myself, on the basis of who I am, on the basis of who I am, not who you are, my brother, but who I am, I have sworn an oath, declares the Lord, that since you have done this thing and have not withheld from me your son, your only son of promise, indeed, I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your seed like the stars of the heavens and like the sand on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies by conquering them. Through your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have heard and obeyed my voice. You not only heard what I said, but you obeyed the instruction. You yielded to my will, even though I asked you to do a hard thing. God will ask us to do hard things. To challenge our love for him. To challenge our devotion to him. Why? Because God wants to perfect that which is imperfect in us. He wants that part of you that's not yielded to him. That part that's not totally given to him. Given to him. Why? Because he just wants to take it? No. Because he wants to make you whole. God wants to make us complete. That's the only way that we'll exist with him throughout eternity, is that all will be right. So God wants us to be all right. And so God made promise to Abraham, I am going to bless you so that your seed will not be, you won't even be able to count them. To a barren man, God said that. To a man who only saw one child born to him, God spoke these words. God's word comes to pass in its time, in its season, the way God intended for it to. And sometimes we are here, God, and we'll misunderstand because we're not clear on the ways of God. We're not clear on the heart of God. But I promise you this day, if God says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And so God wants us in here today to see him as faithful, to see him as true, to see him as the one who will speak a thing and that thing is coming to pass. And ever since he spoke those words to Abraham, that word has been unfolding. That word unfolded until it brought Jesus Christ forth, because the word was not just to Abraham's natural seed. But that word was to Jesus Christ, and through him, all of us were going to be born. And every time somebody's born into the kingdom of God, that's Abraham's promise coming to pass. Because everything that God speaks, keep on saying until what he said is done. When God says it, it comes to pass. It comes to pass. I don't care if it's 100 years like poor Noah had to build that boat. Can you imagine? I really can't. Preaching to folk who don't obey, preaching to folk who not going to do what God said for 100 years while you're building a boat for rain and nobody knows what rain is. So they automatically think you're crazy because it has never rained anyway. So what is that old man over there talking about? And what's a boat? What do you do with it? What's a flood? Do you understand? You and I know what a flood is. You and I know what rain is. So it's hard for us to imagine that they didn't know anything about rain. So he's just a crazy old man over there preaching and building the boat for the rain, for the flood. And he did it 100 years, but he didn't stop. With no evidence for 100 years. Nothing come forth to say that he really did hear from God. Heart tested. And in the testing, we're perfected. In the testing, we come to rely on God and not what we understand. We come to rely on this one thing, that God is able beyond our understanding. God is able beyond what we're able to ask or think or speak. He's able. We start to get a picture and a revelation of how big he is. How powerful he is. I get excited when I think about the bigness of God. And that no matter what happens, he's got me. I heard Tony Evans tell this story about his little granddaughter. The little granddaughter was outside the house and she was playing. And then he suddenly heard her screaming. And when he heard her screaming, he heard the yapping of this dog. So naturally, grandpa is out that door and he's going to pick up that baby. And he picked up that baby. And when he picked that baby up, she was still screaming. And then she noticed grandpa had her. And the dog is still yapping and snapping. But he's at grandpa's foot. He's down there at grandpa's leg and grandpa's foot. And she would look at grandpa. Then she would look at the dog. She would look at grandpa. Then she would look at the dog. And finally she said, nah, 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 nah. She got it. Grandpa's got me. Ah, dog can't do anything for me, anything to do to me, because God, grandpa's got me. We need to get a revelation of the bigness of God. So when the devil is kicking and yapping, circumstances are more than what we can handle. The problem is bigger than me. The problem seemed to have come out of nowhere, and I don't seem to be able to do anything with it. I need to know that Grandpa has me. I mean, you all terrified. And then you notice he can't get you. And you go, na, 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 na. Oh, Lord, if we would only go, na, 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 na. Our God is bigger. Our God is more than any trouble that we can encounter. And we will encounter trouble. Have you noticed? In this life, you will be tested. In this life, we will be tried. But Jesus said, fear not, because I have overcome the world. I have overcome that thing that came to challenge you. I'm more than that. So we can rejoice even in the circumstance. Can you hear what I'm saying? Katrina gave a testimony this morning that in a circumstance where she usually would get flustered and get all out of sorts and be upset, she found herself rejoicing. She got a revelation in that moment that God is big, that he's more than this trouble that in the past was more than I could handle. That's growth. God is calling us to grow up, church. I shouldn't be having the same reaction today to a problem that I had yesterday. I should be better because I've had another opportunity to experience his greatness. God wants us to know that he's bigger. That he's more than. We've got to believe that. In Ephesians chapter 1. God said he wants us to know him. Change notebook. Okay. God wants us to know him. Ephesians chapter 1. Why does God want us to know him? So that we will see him and we'll think about his power and his glory before we allow the situation that seems to be all out of hand, before we allow it to get the best of us. Can you hear what I'm saying? You see, God is greater than the sickness today. He's greater than the bank account that just seems to stay in the red. He's greater than those problems that we're having in our homes, in our marriages, with our children, the workplace, wherever we may be. God is greater than those problems. And if we will understand that our God is with us, if we'll be attentive to his word, if we will understand that God cannot be overcome by the things that overcome us, they're not even very much of a challenge for him. God said, your enemies can all together at one time. He said, and they're just a drop in the bucket for me. God said, I sit on the circle of the earth. I'm out here. Everything is inside. And I'm out here. I'm running this. And so we've got to understand, my God is with me. Can you say, God, my God is with me? And so in Ephesians chapter 1, God says, I want you to know me. I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who I am. So that you'll know that I am the great I am. I am what you need. Do you know God has 85 different names in the Old Testament? Every time they called on him according to the name that they needed. If they needed healer, they got the healer. If they needed provider, they got the provider. Can you hear what I'm saying? If they needed protection, they got the protector. They needed the deliverer, they got the deliverer. You can call on God for whatever you need in this house today. I can speak just one word in here and you'll hear it according to the need in your life. You'll hear it according to what you need God to do in your life. And he's here for it all. Your problem's not so hard because it's got you messed up. God's more than that. Say, God's more than that. And he's bigger than that. And God not only wants us to know him, but he wants us to understand the power that comes toward us from him and how immeasurable. You cannot measure the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God and the purpose of God and the plan of God for your life and what God can do to execute that. You can't measure it because God is able to do so much more than what we can think. And so if I'm thinking, God, if you'll just do this, God said, I want to do more than that. I want to do more than that. I often think about the time that, and I've told you about the time I stayed home from work one day because I needed God to be straightened out on some things. I needed him to understand some stuff. I mean, he was not getting the point. So I called in sick. I wasn't using my vacation. Wrong already. Wrong. I was not using my vacation. I'm using sick leave. And I need him to understand some things about me walking holy and me living holy. And this man is not. Now. So everybody go to work. Everybody go to school. Because me and God are going to talk. And I'm going to go down to the family room. I'm going to lay on the floor. And he going to hear a piece from my mind. He going to hear from me today. Because I'm doing all I know. He baba shana na. He coming a car. I went down those steps. Got only halfway, Tasha. And I heard him say, the same time I went to Calvary for you, I went for him. You not even let me make my case yet. Shut me down. Because I'm wrong. I just wanted the trouble to stop, but God was after his soul. Come on. God wanted his soul saved. And I'm not the savior. Let me tell you something, girl. You are not his savior. Girl, let me help you out. You are not his savior. Let me help you, girl. You are not the savior. Let me help you, son. You are not the savior. Jesus is the Savior. You're the husband or you're the wife, but you're not the Savior. You're the friend and you're the lover, but you're not the Savior. God does the saving. You be who he told you to be. See what he wrote in the word concerning you. And if you stay up under that umbrella, you'll see the hand of God move in ways that you thought it would never move. But we so busy trying to save the other person. You can't save that person. You can't save that person. You can't work out any soul salvation but your own. Thought I'd help you out. If she would just nothing. You can't save these children. Have you noticed? You can't save them either. God is the Savior. You can pray for them, you can teach them, you can train them, but you can't save them. They have to choose God for themselves. It's a choice that everybody makes to respond to what God says. So God says, I want you to know me and I want you to know the hope of your calling and I want you to know the power at work with you. The power that's at work in your life. If you know that as a believer, if you know that as someone who is a follower of Christ, your life will be successful, not trouble free, but successful. That means that when you are challenged with the mountain that's bigger than you, that mountain is either going to come down or you're going to tunnel through it, but you will have success. That means when there are valleys in your life, though you go in that valley, you're coming up out of that valley because God will call rivers of water to run through those valleys and he'll cause things to grow in the valley that would not have grown before. God said there is no challenge in your life. No problem that you have today. No desire for peace that God can't give you. I felt that one. Somebody need peace in here today. I felt that one. God wants peace in your soul. He wants your soul to come to rest. You know how that happens? The word for that is cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. That's the word for that. Cast that care on him. That thing that's worrying you. I see this thing. It's just, your head just keeps going round and round and round and round. And you won't come to the place where you'll give it to God. He said, lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge me. God said, I care. Okay. You'll have peace when you allow that word in your life to live. How do you do that? First thing you say is, God, I already know I can't handle this. So I'm giving it to you. I want you to have it, Father. And then just say, here it is. And then go ahead and make yourself start thinking about the good things. Just go ahead. Start to think about something good. Let it go. Say, Jesus is the burden bearer, not me. You're not the burden bearer. He is. And he wants to bear your burden. That's why he went to Calvary. That's why he came into the earth. That's why he came. So that he could take the trouble. Are you listening today? Are you paying attention today? I can't. Somebody's have. I keep feeling this chaos. Just going round and round and round. Round and round and round. Okay, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? Somebody in here. You need peace right now. You know you need peace. Don't keep sitting there because I can't let it go. I can't let it go. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus. 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 I just speak the peace of God over you right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, it's almost like trouble on every side. Sometimes you feel like Job, and God is saying, do you see what he did for Job? Do you see how he brought him out? It was bad for him. It was really bad, and things really were happening. The things that were happening to him were very real, but the plan of God for him was even more real. And the plan and the power of God working in his life was even more. The truth is that God had a plan for him where he was going to be better when he came out of his trouble than when he went into the trouble. And so God is speaking a word over you today that you are going to see the hand of God in your life in such a way till you'll have to, you know how you go, I wonder, is this still me? Because God is going to turn things around and he's going to do it at a rapid pace. Watch the hand of God in your life. Turn things around to the point where you're just going to stomp down, shout hallelujah. Glory to God. I know you did it. But I just see all kinds of things just whirling around. And everywhere you turn, there it just seemed to be more trouble. But God said, trust me in this because I have it all and I'm going to restore everything that you've lost in this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for restoration. Thank you for restoration. Thank you, God, that you are more than the problem. Thank you, God, that you are more than the problem. Thank you, God, that you are more than the problem. You are more than the problem. You are more than the problem. Say, God is more than the problem. Say, God is more than the problem. He causes us to be an overcomer. He causes us to be an overcomer. Hallelujah. 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 God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God has given us the solution for any and every situation in our lives. And God speaks specifically to everything that's happening in our lives. He has a specific for your life, Barbara. He has a specific for your life, Ivy. He has a specific for your life, Alicia. He has a specific for your life, D'Angelo. He has a specific for your life, Eric. He has a specific for your life. He speaks, and his words make what he wants. His word creates where there's nothing. It'll make something. It'll create. When he spoke to Abraham and Sarah, they didn't have bodies that would produce. But when God got done with them, he got Isaac, and Isaac got Jacob. And Jacob got all them children he got. And then out of Jacob came Judah. And out of Judah came Jesus. And out of Jesus came us. That word spoken so long ago. The word of God does not fail over time. It doesn't diminish over time. If God said it, he said it. Regina reminded me yesterday of what somebody said to me when we first started to build this building. People would come in here and say, oh, not big enough. And then one girl came in here from Omaha and walked over that way and did this. Ooh, this wall can't stay here. This wall got to come out. It's 20 years later and we're nowhere near knocking a wall out. It's there, no need to go anywhere. Cause we got plenty of room. But if God said it, he said it. What he said to me before we were even a church, those words have not diminished. Those words have not diminished. What God called a family to be has not diminished because our laws have voted other things in. What God calls a marriage is still a marriage. A man and a woman, no matter what laws we have. He only made male and female, no matter whether we call them this, that, them, her, whatever they call themselves. He still only made male and female. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That hasn't changed and won't change. No matter what we do, we're not going to change what God said. And if we'll be the people the way he called us to be in every situation, whether it's family, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's the gift of God on the inside of you, if you will move and live according to what God has created you to be, you will have good success. You'll have good success. And so what do? We remember what he said. We understand that every word has been placed strategically in our lives. That we have been placed strategically in the body of Christ. Each and every one of us. There is not anyone in here who can stand up and state or mention a problem that they're having in life that God won't solve. And he'll solve it in such a way that you go, Lord, I never expected this. God wants to heal in here. God wants to heal in here. He wants to deliver in here. But you have to believe it. You have to know it. And so our hearts are being tested. They're being tried. Are you really real as far as God is concerned? He's testing us. He's trying us. It's not that he's not going to do it. He just wants us to be able to receive what he does. He wants us to understand and appreciate that he is the holy God of the ages. Because he is holy. And he is the God of love. We love to say that he's the God of God loves, he loves, he loves. But out of his love, he certainly judges too. He's the God of judgment. Yes, he is. He's the whole time he's judging, he's love. The whole time he's judging, he's merciful and gracious. The whole time. See, all God comes in a big package. That's why he's got so many names. Because he moves according to who he is at that moment and who you need at that time. But he's always the most high and the most holy. He's always high and he's always lifted up. And there is none beside him. Who is God? So God said in Ephesians 1, I want you to know me. Those of you who are sealed in the Holy Ghost. And he writes this word to those who are faithful. He said to the faithful in Christ Jesus. The ones who are holding steady. The ones who are not backing down. The ones who are plowing through their troubles. The ones who are not throwing their hands up and saying, this will never happen. This can't change. This is too bad. God said, there's nothing too bad for me. There's no word that I've ever spoken that's not going to come to pass. And so we have to be believing that. So what areas are you weak in? God wants to build that area up. He wants to build that area up. And you know, Jesus told us the word comes to us. And when we hear the word, if we don't believe it, then the devil comes and takes that word. He said, we can hear the word and we'll get excited about the word and be okay for a minute. But then an offense will come and then we're gone again. We're back where we were in the beginning. Then he said the word comes to the heart, but because we have a lust of other things, because of the deceitfulness of riches, and us desiring other things, God said that word will be choked in your life. You'll understand that word. You'll hear that word. But it won't do you any good. It'll benefit you in no way at all. And you can understand. You have the Greek and the Hebrew for it. And because of the lust of other things and the deceitfulness of riches, God said that word will be choked in your life and will not benefit you at all. Then he said, those of you who do believe and embrace the word, he said, some of you won't embrace it all. He said, because that word will produce in your life some 30, some 60, some 100. There are some things we believe more easily than we believe other things. And God said, you can believe it all and you can believe it all the same. Because all of it carries the same weight. All of it will produce in your life 100-fold. But there are some things we have a hard time believing. I remember he's passed on from here now, but one guy who came to this church who had a really dark life. He'd had a dark life in drugs and alcohol, had experienced some things and had seen some things that he couldn't get past. And no matter how much I prayed with him, no matter how much I prayed for him, no matter how many times we sat and we counseled and we talked and we wept together, he just couldn't get past one thing that had happened. He couldn't believe that God had forgiven him for not revealing what had happened. Because he knew something awful that had happened and that thing was going to send somebody to prison for life and he would not tell. And he just felt like God won't forgive me for that. I said, God forgives all sin. He forgives it all, but we have to walk according to his word. We have to obey what he says and you have to receive that word. He couldn't receive God's forgiveness. It's not that he didn't hear. It's not that he didn't understand, but he wouldn't let go. Here's the thing. If you don't let go, that word's not going to produce in your life. That's why God said, I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of me. I want you to know me. I want you to know when I say I've forgiven all, I've forgiven it all. I want you to know when I say I'm the healer, that I'm the healer. I want you to know that when I say I'm the deliverer, I'm the deliverer. God said, I want you to know that about me so that you will receive what I have for you. God is not holding out today on anybody, not any of us. He's not holding out. He wants us to have the best. Jesus is the best, and Jesus came so that we could have an abundant life. Now, what more can God do except we obey what he says, tells us to do? That's how we receive. So I don't know about you, but I want mine. Yeah. I want my healing. Yeah. Ooh, I really want my healing. Yeah, I want my healing. I want my deliverance. I want whatever God has for me. I want to be whole. I want to be complete. I want to believe God when it's the darkest day of my life. I want to be able to rejoice when I can see nothing in front of me as a reason to rejoice. I want to just rejoice because he is God. And I know that he's faithful and I know that he's true. God said, no word of scripture is without purpose. Every word God speaks is intentional. So no scripture is pointless. No word of scripture is without benefit to those who will read it, hear it, and do it. No word from God is without power to perform according to the purpose that it's been sent and according to the time that it's to be performed. Each word of God is spoken in your hearing because God wants you to receive your change. Because God wants you to be even someone who is completely whole, completely complete, because Jesus went to make it that way. So now, think about that area in your life where you struggle the most, where you struggle with believing God the most, where you struggle with trusting God the most. Think about that area in your life. Think about how you got there. Maybe somebody betrayed you and you just have trouble trusting. God says, I don't want to be in the category with them. I don't want to be in that category. They betrayed you. I didn't betray you. People get hurt and don't come to church. And they're upset because somebody said or did something. But you got to wonder what's in you that would make you go home to sit down when God didn't betray you. It was another person who needs healing and needs deliverance or just needs correction in an area. And you at home, you mad at God. Or you've walked out on God because of something that somebody did. We need to think about those things. We need to stop allowing people, circumstances to separate us from God. That's why God said you need to know me. Because if you know me, you'll know there's no reason to back away. If you know me, you'll know I want the best for you if you'll know me. Am I making sense in here today? I know it's sobering. But God wants us to wake up. He wants our eyes open. He wants us to see him. Every song we sang, every song we heard in here today was exalting God. And today we're going to take Holy Communion so that we can remember that Jesus made all of this possible. He wants us to remember why he went to Calvary. He wants us to remember the sacrifice. He wants us to remember how we got our freedom to even worship him. He wants us to remember why we're not at odds with God any longer. That there's no wall between us and God. He made the way for us to come into God's presence at any time from any place, and anybody can do it. Anybody. The most derelict soul in the world, the most messed up person in the world can at any point call on the name of Jesus and be delivered out of the misery of his soul. No matter what you've done in life. And we've done some pretty messy things. All of us. We've done some pretty messy things. Some things you hope will never come to light. Go and tell the truth. Some things you hope will never come to light. But Jesus saw it. And he's willing to forgive. And he's willing to put it away from you forever. That's what Calvary was all about. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. I still feel like there's somebody in here need peace today. Still feel like there's somebody here need peace today. You don't have any peace. 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 Father, it is in the name of Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus that we're asking you to help us in all of those areas where we're the weakest, in those areas where we trust you the least. God, we're asking you to help today. We thank you for the Holy Ghost who lives with us. We thank you that the promise that you made to Abraham way, way back is being manifested in Jesus Christ today and those who believe him. Father, we just ask you in this place today to help us to release to you those burdens that we keep carrying. You are the burden bearer. You're the burden bearer. So help us, Lord God, to cast the care upon you. That our minds would be released. That our emotions would be healed. Some of us have such emotional upheaval that unless we give it to you, we'll never know what it is to be free of worry. Help us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Broken-hearted people in this room today. Broken-hearted people. Broken. But Jesus, you came to restore, to make new, to refresh, to make whole. Help us to receive it. Help us to receive it. People held bound and held captive to things that happened even in their youth. God, in the name of Jesus, set the captive free. Let him have it today. Let him have it today. It happened. It was a horrible thing. But if you give it to Jesus today, your heart will feel the ease and the comfort that Jesus gives you. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Father, heal, deliver, set free is our prayer. Oh God, help us to receive this word as the truth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't get to my last scripture because I just, for some reason, kept having